I think what was in the room was the essence of the being. D. Do you think that's why he was wispy? 188. The custodians. B. I think it's like he projected part of himself into the room. But his heavier body was out in a spaceship. There's either two or three others in here with me. They're small. D. Are they also sitting down? B. No, they're walking around. There's not much room. It's shorter than the fence, and the fence is a 6-foot fence. And I guess there's room for them to walk around. They're not tall like that projection was. They're shorter. I have to sit down. Well, I guess I could stand up, but only in the middle. Beverly is a short woman, only a little over 5 feet tall. They don't seem to have to sit anywhere. They're doing things. You know, walking around and punching buttons and looking at screens. D. Where is all that? B. It's in the inside walls. It's like a little cockpit. D. Is there anything on the screens? B. Maps and graphs. I don't really see them. But I know that's what's on there. I mean, I've glanced at them. D. You mean like a map of land? B. Of the sky. I guess it's like an airplane map would be, you know, to fly. There's bound to be pathways that are used over and over, in an airplane. And so what's on the screen is some sort of pathway to get somewhere. It's almost like a graph. Maybe it's some kind of radar. It has vertical lines and horizontal ones, like graph paper. There are some screens that don't have that. They just have lines, intersecting and going off in different directions. And I don't know what they mean. The screen's white. The lines are all the same dark color. Maybe it's a computer system. That's what the screens look like, kind of like a computer screen. Everything's built into the wall. The wall is rounded. D. All right. What do these little beings look like? B. They're gray. They're short, 3 or 4 feet tall, and kind of nubby skinned. D. Nubby? What do you mean? Buried memories, 189. B. They're bumpy. They're not smooth or soft looking. Well, they may be soft, but they're nubby. Like E.T. in the movie, but not that extreme. It looks rough, it may not be. In fact, I think that it probably isn't, when you really touch it, but it has the effect of looking thick and rough. D. Can you see their faces? B. They have little faces. No hair. I don't think they have any ears, or if they do, they're sort of recessed in. They don't stick out like our ears. They have eyes that are similar to my eyes. They're not big black eyes. They have the white of the eye. They have a nose and a mouth. D. Like yours? B. No, their faces are nubby, like being an old person with a really wrinkled face, millions of wrinkles all over their face. Except their heads are really little, bigger at the top than the bottom, almost coming to a point at the chin. And their faces look sort of squashed in. Like a Purkinje's dog has kind of a squashed in face. D. I understand what you mean. Can you see their hands as they work the buttons? How many fingers do they have? B. They have 5 fingers. D. 5 fingers? 4 fingers and a thumb? B. But they're longer than mine. D. Can you see their feet from where you are? What do they look like? B. They're almost webbed-like. They have 5 toes. And their feet are big compared with their bodies. They're wide in the toe area, and there's webbing between them. But not like a duck. That's too much webbing. This is just a cross between our foot and, say, the webbing on a duck foot. This type of foot was also reported in Legacy from the Stars. A similar type shaped like a mitten with the bones of the foot appearing as ridges beneath the skin. D. Can you see any way of distinguishing sexes? 190. The custodians. B. No. I think they're messengers or workers. I don't think they're robots. If they were, they'd have to be an awfully sophisticated one. I think these are alive. D. Are they communicating with you in any way? No, but you sit down in that chair. Then what happens after that? B. Well, it takes off. Up out of the yard, off to the left. D. Can you feel the motion? B. Very little. I feel a lift up off the ground. But after that there's very little. You don't feel any kind of motion. You may feel a turn. But as long as you're going up or in one direction, straight ahead or back or whatever, you don't feel any motion. D. Can you hear anything? B. No. It doesn't take very long. It goes to another ship up in the sky. D. Are there any windows that you can see through? B. Yes. I didn't know it until we got inside. There are some windows that are like little portals. And they're all around the part of the dome where the ridge comes out from it. And I guess lights were coming out from that. Above that little platform-like thing, and I think probably below it, too. D. But you couldn't see anything out the windows when you were flying? B. I was facing the middle of the room. And, no, I couldn't see anything. It's like being half asleep. D. Then they go to a larger ship, you said? B. It goes into the larger ship, from the side. Like there's an opening. And it goes into it. And then the dome lifts off. Trying to be correct, the top lifts off. Or part of it. Maybe all of it. I'm not sure. Either all of the dome part or half of it lifted back, that exposed it to where it was open. And then you just get out and walk down a hallway. D. Are they walking with you? B. Uh-huh. The hallway is very sleek. Very streamlined. Light-colored walls. I don't think they're white, but maybe an off-white. They're a light shade of metal or fabric or buried memories, 191, whatever it's made of. I don't know about the floor. And it is like a runway in an airport, sort of. A tunnel-like, but big. They put me in a room. It's just a small room, and they put me in there. There's no table. But it's so they can come in and look at me. D. Who can? These little people? B. No, it's not the same people. They go to their bosses, I guess. And they come in. I think this is like a psychological examination. There's no exchange of words. They just surround me, and examine my brain. They're insect-like. I guess it's the same thing I used to see when I was a kid, but they're not really insects. Their limbs are very flexible, very bendable, and very angular. They're maybe a foot or so taller than the little nubby people. Maybe my size, my height. They're whitish-gray, so they're lighter in color than the little nubby things. They're, what was it you called it a while ago? They're not as substantial. Wispy. The little nubby people are not wispy. They are nubby. D. You say the one in your bedroom was wispy. B. Yes, it's like these. Maybe they project themselves through these little nubby people. D. You said they had angular-like appendages. Do they have fingers or hands? B. Yeah. There's a thumb, and three fingers. D. Are they wearing anything? B. No. Clothes would be heavier than they are, it seems to me. Clothes would have more weight and substance than their bodies. Or if they do have a covering, it's like part of their body. D. It's not anything they can take off, you mean? B. Well, maybe they could take it off, but when it's put on it becomes a part of what looks like their body. I don't know if they're made that way, and they don't wear any clothes. Or if the outer thing that I see is part of the clothing, and would actually be removable. But it doesn't look different, 192, the custodians, from what they look like. There's not a break where clothing starts and skin or flesh or whatever begins. This has also been reported in other cases. Some of the alien creatures have delicate skin that is easily damaged. From the instant they are born, they are encased in a membrane-type substance that remains around their body their entire life to protect the skin. D. You said you were never sure how many appendages they had because the bedroom was dark. Can you see now? B. There's just the two arm-like ones and the two leg-like ones. Motions. The legs bend upward at such a sharp angle, and then the bottom part of the leg goes down, but it almost looks like there are other legs underneath. And the arms do the same way. They're thin and very angular. They can almost bend flat. Motions. She seemed frustrated because she was having difficulty making it clear what she was seeing. D. All right. Is there anything else in the room? B. There is nothing. The room is just a cubicle, a box-type room. D. Is it light in there? B. Yeah. The light seems to emanate from the walls. There's no light fixture. Here they would either turn the walls on or turn them down, like you would turn the lights on or dim them. I don't see a knob anywhere, but I think that's the way the walls function. D, it's as though the whole wall is a light. B, right. D, and you say Th was surrounding you, as though it was some kind of a psychological examination? How do you know that? B, sigh, well, I don't know it. But for one thing, they were just looking at my head. They weren't touching me. I, buried memories, 193, know they project somehow. And I don't know if they were projecting themselves into my head, or if they were pulling stuff out of my head into theirs, or both. D, could you see pictures in your head while this was going on? B, no. I just knew. It was like a pull between my head and this other being. And then I'd feel a pull between my head and another being. And it was like that was going back and forth all the time. D, how many are in there? B, must be about five. Pause, four. D, four? And you're feeling like a pull between half of these. B, I don't feel it all at the same time. I feel it more from one side and then from another. I think it's because I'm turning and being aware in that direction. I think it's going on all the time. We're all standing up. And it's like they're wandering through my head. D, but it's not bothering you, is it? B, no. The whole thing's just uncomfortable. It's not painful, but they're doing things that don't normally get done. And so it bothers me. I don't like it. D, kind of like a nuisance? B, more than that. It's like a dread. It's like I'm at their mercy. It's like when you're in a hospital having a baby and they're going to tell you everything to do. And you're in the act of having it, and you can't do anything but. My mother always told me, when you're having a baby, you're at the mercy of the world. D, there's nothing you can do about it. B, nothing you can do. And this is that kind of feeling. I don't know what they want. I don't know why they keep doing this. And I don't even know what they get from it. I'm not getting anything in my head. D, so you think this has happened before? B, oh, yeah. It happened when I was a kid. But it seems like most of the time they were examining my body, the 194, the custodians, physical stuff. Maybe they've learned all they can learn about that, or maybe this is just a different time. Who knows? But it's like they can go inside my head, and pull out information, or look around and see what's in there. And I can't do anything about it. D, but it's not physically bothering you, or mentally, really? B, physically, it's not bothering me. Mentally, well, it's like you have no privacy. It's like being stripped naked physically, except that it's worse mentally. You're totally exposed. And it's not just the present they're looking at. When they get into your brain, they look at everything. The past is all there. There are no secrets at all. D, you mean all your memories? B, and your knowledge. D, I wonder why they would be interested in your memories? B, I don't know, except it's like the whole story of your life is in your head. You're the one that knows it. It's not the gray matter that they're looking at. It's the essence of your beingness that they're examining. And so it's not just for today. When they get the mind, they examine it for 10 years ago, for 15 years ago, or the week before last. They pick it. They find what they want to look at. Or they wander through and see something else. And information, your knowledge, which is stored in your mind. And your feelings. D, your emotions? B, your emotions, yeah, probably more than anything else. Why do they care what I did on my 10th birthday? And physically they've looked at all of that. Probably, it's mostly how the brain works, how the mind works, and how your feelings function. D, what are they doing with the information? B, putting it in their own mind, I guess. I don't know. D, there's no machinery or instruments or anything? B, no. It's all through mental telepathy. But it's almost as though I can see light waves go back and forth, between my head and their heads. Buried memories, 195. D, kind of like electric currents? Yes, have you ever tried to communicate with them? and asked them why they're doing this? B. Not this time. I can't remember right now if I. It would be pretty stupid if I never had. But if I did, I don't think I ever got anywhere, so I just quit. D. I'd think you would be curious. B. Well, I was curious. There's no reason to communicate, because they already know. D. But you don't know. B. They know I'm curious. They know questions are there. They know that I don't want them to do this, but they do it anyhow. There's no point in asking. They let me know if they want me to know. It's like there's no point in making any kind of wording whatsoever about it. It's all in your head. And they know what's in your head. And what they want me to know, they would let me know or they wouldn't. My asking would not be effective. So there's no point in doing it. D. Except to satisfy your own curiosity. B. But it wouldn't satisfy it, because they wouldn't answer it. They want to find out what's going on inside our heads. Why, I don't know. I guess because we're a different species. If we were on some other planet, we might be doing the same thing to whatever was there. D. That's possible. B. We do it here. We experiment with animals. D. Well, does this go on for very long? B. 20 minutes maybe. D. Is that the only thing that they do? Just this interchange. Not really an interchange, just a one-way type of communication. Yeah, then what happens? B. They leave the room. And then the three guys that brought me down from the ship come and get me, and we get back in the small ship. And we fly back. D. You didn't see any other part of this larger ship? 196. The custodians. B. No. I just know it must have been much bigger than the one I came in, because the whole small ship went inside, and that appeared to be a small portion. You know, how we talk about having a base out in space that a whole colony of people could live on. I feel it was something that was, if not that large, pretty close to it. And I don't know why I think that, because I didn't see the rest of it. It's just an impression. D. Then what happened when they brought you back? B. I got in the small ship. It's like a shuttle, or like a helicopter would be to us. And we left in it. I don't remember getting back to the ground or getting back in my bed. D. You don't know if it landed in the backyard or gone? B. Probably, it did, but I don't see it. I don't remember it. In fact, I don't guess I remember anything. The next thing, it's morning. I think they have the ability to shut down the function of your brain. Or to open it up and expose it, like cutting open your stomach, but it's not done physically. D. But it didn't hurt anything. B. No. Not physically. Nothing was painful. I mean, it's not like your skull got ripped open. D. Did you have any after effects the next day? B. The next day I remembered this figure in my room. I remembered thinking it was a flying saucer out there waiting for me. But that's all I remembered about it. And I wondered if I dreamed it. I don't remember having any physical side effects. But I think I have headaches while they're doing this. D. But it's all right to look at the experience, and talk about it. Then we can put it all in the past. B. Maybe. But it's in the past already. So there's not a whole lot to be done about it. D. That's true. But the main thing is, that it didn't bother you. Isn't that true? B. I think it bothered me. I think it still bothers me. And what it does to your head. It's like you have to live a lie. I mean, buried memories, 197. You can't go around lying 24 hours a day about stuff. So I think what happens is, you just forget it. You block it. And then that does, I think, psychological damage to your head. D. What do you mean, living a lie? B. Well, you have to go around acting 24 hours a day like this didn't exist. I mean, nobody else thinks it exists. Nobody else talks about it. And if you know that it does, then you have to live a lie to fit in with the rest of the world. D. Because they wouldn't believe you? B. Of course they wouldn't believe me. D. But a lot of it you didn't remember yourself, did you? B. Right. But that's what I'm saying. It is too difficult to live a lie 24 hours a day, especially when you're young. So I think the mind just obliterates it. Either they do it, or your own mind does it. I don't know. I think they do a lot. But I think psychologically, too, that our own minds cover it up in order to live with it. It's like mass ignoring. I want to say mass ignorance, but it's not ignorance like we think of the common use of the word ignorance. It's mass ignoring of. D. I wonder how they know where to find you? B. They always know. I don't know if it's something they do to you, or if it's with their minds. If with their mind they scan where you are, and it just pops up. I mean, that could be. I don't really know how they know. Except they seem to know everything. Well, I say that, but obviously they don't know everything. They wouldn't be investigating if they knew everything. But they know so much more than I do, that it seems like they know everything. I was getting ready to move her to another scene when she abruptly interrupted. Maybe there's something about me, and anybody else they do this with. And there are other people they do it with. 198. The custodians. D. You think so? B. Oh, yeah. I've seen them with other people on a spacecraft just like they had me. I don't know what all was going on. But I know there were other human beings on there. D. When did this happen? B. It's happened more than once. I just know there are other people they do this to. I was talking about how they find you. You've seen these great big world maps that they put up on the wall? And they put all these red dots in certain places, or purple dots or whatever. I think there's something about us that either beeps or flashes or lets them know what people they've been examining. Now I don't know if it's something, or whether it's because once they've examined you, you become like that. To where you send out some sort of light signal or auditory signal. To where, like a computer scanning, it would just find you. Like a warfare missile would find a target. I mean, there's some sort of radar. Some sort of thing where you can find things. Even we can do that. And so there's something that enables them to keep tabs on anybody they deal with. You're probably tagged in some way, like we tag pigeons, I guess. D. All right. We can find out. I want to talk to your subconscious. Is Beverly tagged in any way, physically? Was anything physically done so they could locate her again? B. Yes. I think it's in her nose. I think it's in the center here. She pointed to the bridge area of her nose, of the face and the nose. D. The bridge area? Yes, what is there? B. I don't know whether it's a round thing like a BB, or whether it's a little square, almost like a piece of paper. But it's not paper. It would have to have more substance than that. It's just laid inside there somehow. D. What purpose does it serve? B. It sends out some sort of signal. D. Does it bother her in any way? Buried memories, 199. B. Yes, it gives some sort of head problems, headaches, sinus. I think any time there's anything foreign in the head, or anywhere in the body, there's going to be a slight problem. And this is foreign to us, to have anything there. It's not meant to do anything like that, but I think that it does. Just like if you were wearing contacts or something foreign in your eye. D. You mean it would not be intended to cause any problems. But just because it doesn't belong there, it could cause slight problems as a side effect. B. Yes. And then it would depend on the rest of your health how much that bothered you. D. When was that put there? B. I think many, many years ago at a very young age. Very young, maybe not even out of the crib. D. So it's been there all that time. But the subconscious can help alleviate any problems that would be caused by a foreign object? Yes, because there's nothing we can do about it. If it's in there it has to stay. B. I think there are accommodations that can be made that help counteract the results produced by that. D. Is this the only foreign object she has in her body? B. I'm not sure. There may be something in the brain. And it's a monitoring device. I think it's in the right side. She put her hand on the right crown area, maybe toward the back. D. What type of device is that? B. I think it monitors the brainwave activity. D. What does it look like? B. I don't know what a microchip looks like, but I get the feeling that it must be like a microchip that is used in computers. Something tiny. maybe not quite thin like a piece of paper, maybe it has a little bit more thickness to it, but very tiny. D. Is that one creating any problems? B. Not noticeably so. I think the awareness that all of this exists creates more problems than the objects themselves. D. Then do you think it's better if she doesn't know about it? 200. The custodians. B. No, when I say awareness, I don't necessarily mean conscious awareness. There's an awareness where she knows about it, period, and always has. And that has promoted enough emotional anxiety to be a problem to her. D. I see. We don't want to cause her any discomfort at all. The main thing is for her to be healthy and happy. B. Well, I don't think you can ignore it. D. That's true. But maybe we can help to alleviate any problems or side effects caused by it. So I would appreciate it if you can help her in any way. B. I think probably acceptance is the only answer. I don't know what else to suggest. Even though maybe I do know more than I think I know. But it's so much less than they know, that I'm dealing with something that's beyond my ball game. D. That's true. In those cases it's better to ignore it. But physically we want to try to alleviate any problems that these objects might cause. I then brought Beverly back to full consciousness and oriented her back to the present day. I gave her suggestions to help her stop smoking, as she had requested before we started the session. The only memory she had upon awakening dealt with some of these suggestions, and remarks her subconscious made about her difficulty in stopping the habit. She did not remember anything that had been said about the objects in her head. I thought it best not to tell her about them at the present time. I knew when she listened to the tape recording she would find out about them. Maybe she would be able to accept it at that time. I didn't want to discourage or frighten her. I never had another session with Beverly. She decided she did not want to explore the subject of UFOs again. Apparently her subconscious thought she had discovered enough, and did not want to complicate her life. Probably for the same reason she put the tape recordings away and never listened to them. Amazingly, many of my subjects never can bring themselves to listen to the Buried Memories 201 session. When it is over they put it behind them. Maybe it is just as well. We never did find the causes for her strange ill health. Maybe this was one of the reasons for the alien monitoring. They may have been trying to understand it also. She went on with her life as sign painter and part-time artist, so these strange sessions apparently had no ill effects. For years, especially after I became involved in UFO research, I have kept notes about unusual incidents that have occurred in my own life. I never know if they are paranormal or not, but if they are unusual enough to get my attention, I write about them. I never know whether they will have future use or not. I do the same thing when I am working on a case. I keep copious notes so that the event comes alive again when I want to include it in a book. That is where the details in this book have come from. While compiling the cases to be focused on in this book, I went over my notes, and discovered something that happened to me that reminded me of Beverly awakening and seeing the strange light in her backyard. I had thought Beverly's reactions were strange because she did not get up and investigate. In my incident, I displayed the same nonchalance, and accepted the unusual as normal while it was occurring. The majority of these cases occurred during the late 1980s, especially the one involving Beverly. My notes say that my incident occurred in December 1988 during the height of these investigations. At the time I did not make any connection. 202. The Custodians. My notes, December 18, 1988. About 3 o'clock at night I got up to go to the bathroom. As I walked from my bedroom down the short hall to the bathroom, I noticed that a bright light was shining through the large e-picture window in the front room. It illuminated most of the objects in the room and shone on the wall of the hallway. I said to myself that there must be a full moon, because it can shine in with that type of brightness. I hadn't noticed it in my room though, but the drapes are drawn in there to shut out any light. While I was in the bathroom, I was facing the wall of the hallway, which I could see through the bathroom doorway. The light from the front room was shining on part of the wall. I wasn't even thinking about anything, when all of a sudden the light went away, and everything was plunged into deep darkness.